Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our good friend Phyllis Martin is our guest this hour. Phyllis is the author of Word Watchers Handbook. She is the author of Martin's Magic Motivation Book and Martin's Magic Formula for Getting the Right Job. She's a career columnist for the Cincinnati Post and a frequent public speaker. She's also the author of a novel, a romance novel, called Return to Chipping Sodbury. Aren't you impressed that I remembered that?
Oh, I am impressed.
Welcome back.
There are two murders in it, so it's very much a mystery also.
Welcome back, Phyllis.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back with us. And folks, we're going to get her to remind us a little bit about the other books in a few minutes. But first, Eleanor, I just had Eleanor on the show. I have ladies all around me here, Phyllis.
You do. Oh,
sorry about
that. Like it,
well, really, look at it. This week I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 women on the show this week.
Well, Jim, you know, it makes a lot of sense because women are small business entrepreneurs.
More and more.
Oh,
you know, 40% of the businesses are small businesses are owned by women these days.
Yes, and more startups than by men now.
You can't say I'm not a nice kind of guy, can you?
No, certainly can't.
Anyway, Phyllis Martin, you just got back from a trip that I wanted you to tell us about.
Oh, good. I was at Greensboro, North Carolina, and by the way, the weather was lovely, and everyone was so kind to us. And I talked to the
vestiges of the hurricane down there.
Not in Greensboro. No,
they're pretty much inland.
Yes, and toward the coast.
Yeah.
And it was also in Charlotte. And, I did a tour around the South.
Yeah.
And the booksellers were mostly independent. And so there were small business people and talked about some of their problems. But some of the glories of being a small business person.
These are independent booksellers.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And if you call an independent bookseller, guess what? You got a live person on the phone.
A real-life person. You don't get a machine or...
No, you don't get your your menu of items. You know, if you wish to order a new book, press
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're right there, and they will order for you, and it's the personal touch, and some have been in business for years.
Yeah. But you know, more and more, those people are being acquired by the large regionals.
Oh, I know they are. The Barnes & Noble, the Borders, and so on.
Books A Million, Bookland, there's some folks that I know who own Books A Million, and they're just acquiring more and more of these small companies. But what are these people telling you are some of the things that they're having to deal with these days in the face of being able to buy books online?
Oh, that, when they said, may I repeat, Amazon.com, and you should have seen the expression on the faces.
What did they, I bet there were some grimaces.
Oh, there really were. But you have to fight a little harder when you're an independent. But some of them have loyal customers who won't go anywhere else. And you don't find quite that loyalty with the big chains. But I go to both, of course, because I buy a lot of books, and I
yes.
hope that they sell my books, and they
well,
do.
You know, there's something about the environment that's around you. Do you think that sometimes we're a little bit fetal in the way we like our environment to be? In other words, I don't feel comfortable in the big box stores. I like the smaller stores where I can see all the walls and you know the ceilings aren't 100 feet high and everything. I don't feel like that I'm walking through a valley of shadow of death between these big stands of products and everything. I like the smaller stores.
Well, I loved your expression. What was it, fetal? What?
Well, the fetal. You know,
one
of the things when a baby comes out. You know, is born into the world. They wrap them up very tightly so that they feel that they're still, you know, they're still in the womb a little bit. They don't expose them to the world so quickly. And I just wondered about that. What do you think?
I think you're onto something. I really do. And the small business owners, the booksellers, told me that by and large, though help is hard to find, they keep their help a little longer.
Yeah.
Their workers, because they become identified with the store.
Well, and the people who want to work in a bookstore are not just there for a career move. I mean, those people like to be around books, don't they?
Oh, they do. And one of the joys of being a writer, when I go in to sign, and I will say it, Return to Chipping Sodbury, the chances are very great that the owner of the bookstore and those who work there have read the book.
Have read the book, yeah.
Oh, and that's wonderful.
Well,
from the customer's point of view and from the author.
Well, but they're really, the difference between the big companies and the little companies is really they're two different products altogether. One is mass marketing, and the other is more of a boutique kind of thing, a more of a quality type of thing from a standpoint of information. It's just a lot different. And what was the name of the movie, You've Got Mail? Was that the thing where
yes.
the big bookstore was competing with the little bookstore?
Yes.
Was that
yes.
that book? Was that
I'm
that movie?
Always sure it was, yes.
Wasn't that a great little movie?
Oh, yes. And so true to life. Oh, so true to life. But I love working with small business because I think they have an intimacy, a word that you almost used, about them, that is just great. And
that's a better word than what I used. I thank you for that. That's the right way to say it. But and folks, if you're a small business out there you don't have to be a bookstore. If you're a bookstore, that's great too. But if you've got a small business and you're competing with the big guys, the big box companies, and you've got some success stories that you'd like to share, or maybe you're not being as successful and you'd like to give us a call, the phone number is 888-822-8255. We'd love to hear from you and find out what you've been doing and what you're facing. I really worry though about these companies, these small bookstores. And even whenever I talk to authors and we talk about whether books are available, as often as I can, I encourage people to go to the little stores.
Oh, yes. And
but they're a dying genre, aren't they?
Yes, and they are. But some of them are so imaginative about their publicity. And they've cottoned on to the idea of if you can't afford to advertise, publicize.
Yeah.
And they have come up with some marvelous ways. I'd love to tell you a story of this is not a bookstore.
Well, stand by. Hold that story, Phyllis. We're going to take a quick break. Hold on to it. We're going to talk to you about that when we come back, folks. And we're going to get into some words that Phyllis wants to talk to us about when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 24 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show and put the normal stuff on the front and the back. And I want to remind you, and I know you probably think I've been teasing you a little bit, but the new website is very, very near. You know how it is when you're working on a major project. It always takes longer than you thought. We're putting just the finishing touches on it, so it'll be pretty close to being perfect when you get it, and we'll probably have a few things to do to it. But that new website is going to allow you to be able to listen. In addition to listening to the replay of the most recent show, you will be able to listen to hundreds of archives, including some with our good friend Phyllis Martin, who's with us this hour, shows that we've done in the past that still mean something to you. And these are all edited down to about 30 minutes. And I'm really looking forward to making those available, Phyllis.
Oh, good.
That's coming up real soon. This week. We're going to be doing that this week for sure. Phyllis, you had a story you were going to tell.
Oh, I did. This is a small business story. A small hairdressing establishment. Did very, very well and paid attention to their customers.
You mean a beauty parlor?
Yes, that's
okay.
What I mean.
Okay.
And suddenly there was a big chain moving across the street, and they were advertising $6 haircuts. And so they wondered, what in the world, how are we going to compete with that? Because we really can't afford it. And so one of the enterprising hairstylists made this big sign and put it out front, and it said, "We repair $6 haircuts."
I like that one.
Oh, don't you like it? And it just shows how innovative some small business people can be.
You've got to do that.
Yeah. Yep. I was also talking, as you know, with bookstore owners from the southeastern area, and one of them told me that what they do is they have special birthday parties for authors, those who are probably not living, authors such as Ernest Hemingway and so on. It does bring people in.
Right. Is that right?
An unusual way to do it.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
It's funny how people love their books, don't they?
Oh, they love them.
And aren't you happy about that?
Oh, I love that. Yes.
By the way, I want to change subject for just a second. You and I have a mutual friend, Stephanie Denton.
Oh, isn't she great?
Stephanie is a professional organizer, folks. If you haven't before, many of you have heard her on this show before, and she tried very, probably in vain, to get me organized. But Stephanie is going to, on Wednesday, on the 6th of October, between 8 and 9, Stephanie is going to be on the CBS This Morning show on television. And I wanted to let you know about that. So while you're listening to the show, to this show on the radio, turn the television on and listen to Stephanie Denton on CBS This Morning. So I want to give her a little bit of a plug for that. She's a good lady.
Oh, she is great. She's a dear friend of mine. By the way, we belong to the same church, and I won't get into religion,
right.
I promise you. But I'll tell you what she does for me. I know that she has been to my house, and so if I think she's coming, you can't imagine how organized I get.
Right, I bet. Yeah, I don't think I want her near my office, although I'd just be embarrassed. I'm sure she could help me, and she has helped me.
Oh, she has helped you.
She has helped me before.
She helps you find things that you thought were lost.
Now, let's talk about words, and I want to go back to something you just said a minute ago. Beauty, you said hair. Now tell me again what you said.
Oh, I said a hairstyling establishment.
Hairstyling establishment.
I don't know how that came out.
That's okay. That's kind of a politically correct thing to do because you and I grew up saying beauty parlor.
Oh, yes.
Right?
And talking about words, and we are,
mm-hmm.
Hairstylists don't particularly welcome being called beauticians.
Or barbers.
Right.
Now, there are still barbers.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And there are still beauticians because obviously barbers cut men's hair and beauticians do ladies' hair, but typically, historically. But the words change with the world, don't they?
Oh, they do. And I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but on the subject of hair, hairstylists don't like to talk about teasing. They call that backcombing.
Backcombing. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I do that every morning. I want to make. I'm glad to know that I have been backcombing and not teasing my hair. So
you want it to look very full, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes, I like that bouffant look myself. But anyway, no, it's just interesting how the words change. And see, the problem is, and this is why you're here, Phyllis. The problem is that we are really forced into making changes with as our culture evolves, as it changes. But some of us, like me, some of us old fossils, have a hard time making that change. And sometimes we don't know when we're politically correct, and when sometimes I don't want to be politically correct.
I think we can be too sexy.
Okay, we're going to talk about that, some other words and political correctness, when we come back after this break, folks, with our good friend Phyllis Martin, the author of Word Watcher's Handbook and Return to Chipping Sodbury. 29 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. You think I don't work for my authors? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You do.
We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Phyllis Martin is our guest. She is the author of Word Watcher's Handbook, a dictionary of the most abused and misused words, and that's what we're about to talk about. Continuing our discussion, as we've talked about a couple of other things this hour, but we've also been talking about words. I'm never very far away from paying attention to what I say when I'm around Phyllis. Not because she is going to wrap my knuckles with a ruler or anything if I say something incorrectly, but it kind of puts me on guard a little bit, and it's probably a good thing, Phyllis.
Well, it puts me on guard too.
Yeah, because God forbid that I should catch you doing something wrong.
Well, if you do, I hope you'll tell me privately.
The student catches the teacher. Boy, we can't have that happening, can we?
Yes, we can, because then we can correct me on air, and everyone else will think, oh, she does it too.
And then you can say, you know, I did that on purpose, so I could point out, you know, I could be dramatic. Phyllis, political correctness. Let's talk just for a minute about that, and then we want to get into some of the words that you had. That you wanted to talk to us about. Political correctness is something you and I've talked about. It's been a while since we did that, but it's good, and I see myself and see myself embracing certain things that I say now where I want to be politically correct. But there are also some things that I just don't want to do. I don't want to say them.
Well, it can get to the point of being ridiculous. Always ask, does this make sense? Is it common sense to do this or to say that? And let's don't be extreme, because then we lose all of the point of being politically correct.
I think flight attendant is better than stewardess.
I do too, because...
But I've got a problem with chairman and chairperson.
Oh, I do too.
I have a problem with chairperson, I'm sorry.
Sometimes I just say moderator, a coward that I am.
Yeah.
I got out of it.
Right.
But we do have, English language is very fluid. It changes all the time. We used to say butcher, now, because the butcher is the one who butchers meat in the, where meat is butchered. You have the meat cutter who is in the store,
mm-hmm.
and they prefer to be meat cutters.
Hmm. Now, see, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, and one of the reasons we've changed blackboard to chalkboard is that the chalkboard is usually not black.
It's green.
Often it is.
More often than not, it's green.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But isn't it interesting how some of these things remain, though? And it's interesting to me to see other people who aren't even as politically correctly involved as I am, which is pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty bad if they're behind me. But I see them saying things. I hear them saying things, and I say, ooh, I wouldn't have said that.
Oh, right, right.
But,
and there's something about location, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Texas, you don't dig oil wells, you drill them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they do. And if the what we always refer to as a state is a commonwealth, you were talking about Virginia earlier,
mm-hmm.
Let's know that it is a commonwealth of Kentucky. That's the way it's phrased.
Right.
And so I think we have to be on top of it. And we used to say Air Corps because that's what it was, but now mm-hmm. it's the Air Force.
Well, that sort of dates you, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
If you say Air Corps, then we know you're definitely were around when for a while, at least back before a couple of wars, maybe.
Yes, and when people write to me about jobs, and they often do, and they could still do that in care of the Cincinnati Post. I quit it to write my novel, but still love the Cincinnati Post, and anyone can write there. But I noticed that if someone uses a lot of one word, and we mentioned that last week, I think, or last
mm-hmm.
month, I know that that's a younger person.
What about things? One of the things that I like to do when I write, and sometimes on this show, I use words for effect.
Yes.
I like to use the word stuff. I like that word. I heard someone talking about protoplasm one time.
Uh-huh.
And he defined it as this stuff that we're made of.
Oh,
I love that.
That's good.
So is there anything wrong with using the word stuff?
No, unless we use it too often.
Okay.
And
I won't use it anymore.
No. We do have conversational ticks and burrs.
Yeah.
And those we have to eliminate because they're irritating to the listener. For example, and that at the end of every sentence.
Yeah.
Or okay at the end of every sentence.
There are some colloquialisms that are some things that I hear people saying that annoy me. People say big time all the time.
Oh.
You hear people say that.
Ew.
You know, that really hurt us big time.
Oh, yes. Well, that's tired because it probably was sounded pretty fresh a long time ago.
But I still hear people saying that.
Oh, I do too.
And the thing is, to me, that is a good term to use if we're talking about baseball or football or something like that. But in a business meeting or something like that, I think that's inappropriate. Or words, even whatever has currently replaced that, to me, is not appropriate in a business situation.
Oh, right. And I would hope that every business person, be it the employee or the owner, would have a system there whereby if you hear your boss use a word incorrectly, you would be free to say, boss, please don't say that.
Right.
Because sometimes the customer will quit listening when they hear that word that's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're tired of it. You were mentioning big time as a tired phrase. Someone mentioned to me, and I have to agree, that he doesn't have the brains of a rocket scientist, or you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand.
Right.
That's so tired now. So let's get rid of it if it's tired.
Well, wait a minute. I like that term. That's a good term.
Well, it is an expression. That's
exactly. Well, we have to find out what the new term to replace that is.
Yeah, that's
when we come back.
We're gonna get
Phyllis to talk to us about how some of the words that we use, how much that reveals about you. And we'll be right back after these messages. 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Phyllis Martin. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you're here, and I appreciate your business. Phyllis Martin is our guest. She's the author of Word Watchers Handbook. Did you tell me that this book is not in print anymore, but it's available in libraries?
Yes, oh, very much so, because Ann Landers plays it in her column, so I think it was in every library in the country.
Right.
And
okay.
They can ask for my novel there, too. I like for people to read what I write, whether or not they pay for it.
Absolutely. The Return to Chipping Sodbury.
Right.
Which is a romance novel.
A murder mystery.
Murder mystery. Okay, but there's a little romance in there,
oh,
too,
absolutely.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Okay, we have to have romance.
I'm a romantic.
Exactly. All right, now, I want to turn to page 79 of your book, and I want to talk about some things that I really want people to pay attention to, because this means something to me, and I think it will to them, too. The words that I want to talk about, you say in this section, the words I want to talk about in this section touch on the subtleties of language. Most are neither right nor wrong, but they do leave traces of where you've been and who you've been.
Oh, right. They reveal the extent of your education. In some instances, the extent of your parents' education.
Explain that.
But you can rise above it. I think that if you grew up in a household where everyone was saying, it don't won't sound wrong to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it will sound wrong to almost everyone who listens.
But haven't you met people who had maybe more than one college degree, who were still using those words?
Oh, yes, and they don't like to be corrected, which is why I think I made the point to you, Jim, that I hope that every employer would ask those who work for him to tell him or her to correct certain words if they're
exactly
wrong, and to do the same thing for the employee.
Mm-hmm.
We had that kind of a system in our office, and oh, it was so useful because you're not aware that you're making a mistake.
Well, one of the things, you said that it reveals the extent of your education, but you can rise above that. If you don't have a college degree, let's say, but you don't want to appear that, you don't want to sort of broadcast that to the world.
Well,
it's not that you're ashamed of it, you just don't have one, and there are ways of rising above that so that not necessarily that you appear to have a college degree, but to appear that you have more capability, and that is to learn to speak correctly.
Well, Jim, language has warts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we make mistakes that cause the listener to wonder where we've been or who we've been,
right,
and not to pay attention to what we're saying. So if you're saying can't hardly, that's going to stop your listener almost immediately, because it should be can hardly. Those are the mistakes that are very costly to business people.
Yeah.
Why we have to rid our vocabularies of the most blatant mistakes. We're never going to have perfect speech. I hope that you'll correct me when I make mistakes, because my speech is not perfect.
I'm still waiting on that first time, by the way, folks. But, you know, the thing is, Phyllis, is that more and more our economy is moving away from manufacturing toward service.
Yes.
Toward information. And service and information means communication.
Oh.
And so you're not going to be able to hide behind that die-cast machine or that piece of equipment or that vehicle or whatever forever. You're going to have to communicate to people.
Oh, right.
More and more. I mean, more and more of our workers are going to have to learn how to communicate verbally and in writing, but not only just to get what you want, but you're going to have to do it effectively, which also means correctly.
Oh, yes. Words are tools of the brain. And I think when you blunt them, you blunt your message.
Here's some other things that you say. Words tell whether you're young or old, contemporary or old-fashioned.
Oh, indeed they do. Indeed they do. For example, if you say ball out, instead of scold, that's kind of an old way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And coffee pot instead of coffee maker, because coffee is made in so many different kinds of things.
One of the things that I like to do when I'm reading something and I don't know, I'm reading an article or something and I don't know who the author is, I like to see if I can find out whether the author is male or female without looking at the name.
Oh, that's interesting.
Have you ever done that?
No, I have to do that. No,
because of the way their choice of words.
Yes.
I had a lady. There was a lady on my show yesterday. Her name is Cherie Carter Scott. She's the lady who developed the concept of 10 rules for being human.
Uh-huh.
You've probably heard of those.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Anyway, she's that lady. She's written a book. And it's called If Life Is a Game, These Are the Rules. And I was asking her about her next book, and she said it was yummy.
Oh.
Now, a guy would never use that word.
That's probably
a guy
right.
would never say yummy. And when she was talking about playing Monopoly, She said, I always wanted to have the top hat or the Scotty dog.
Oh.
Well, see, I would have chosen the race car.
Yes.
Or the sailboat.
Yes, right.
So what I'm getting at, those little telltale things, to me it's interesting to see how men and women use language differently.
Oh, yes, and how Americans use it as opposed to the British. Let's talk about that someday.
Okay, but before we, I want to get back to this thing. Ladies, I think ladies have to be careful in business settings not to be too frilly with their language.
Yes.
Do you agree with me?
Oh, I do, wholeheartedly.
I mean, I'm trying to think of some of the things that they might say, but there are things that you say, that women can say, that if they're in a social setting, don't work in a business setting.
I agree.
I'm trying to think of what that might be, some of those things, but yummy would be one.
Yes, and words tell whether or not you've traveled.
Yeah.
If you talk about Illinois instead of Illinois, that's very bad, and people notice it. Or if you say Washington instead of Washington,
yeah.
It hurts ears.
Stand by. When we come back, Phyllis has got some tips. She has some tips for small businesses. We're going to get her to tell us what those are when we come back. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasting in the Small Business. Thank you for being here. We'll be right back. We are back at 54 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Phyllis Martin. She's the author of Word Watchers Handbook and also Return to Chipping Sodbury, which is a murder mystery, a little bit of romance in there. Tell us where the book's available.
Oh, in almost any bookstore, and I guess I should say this, Amazon.com, or in your public library.
And the little bookstores, too, folks. Don't forget them.
Absolutely.
Return to Chipping Sodbury. You had a couple more words you wanted to talk about. We didn't talk about October words yet.
I'll get to that. But one, because I make a lot of speeches, people misuse the word podium. One stands on a podium.
Ah.
It comes from the word podiatrist, the same base.
Ah.
Lectern is something that you have your notes on.
A lectern is in front of you. The podium is what you're standing on.
Exactly.
I got you.
So many people miss that, and speakers love to hear the moderator of a program say it wrong, and then they chortle to themselves. But you wanted to talk about some October words?
Well, yeah, just a couple of quick October words, and then you have some business things, because this is a short segment.
Yeah, oh, right. Well, October, of course, is the 10th month of the year, but it used to be the 8th, and that's
because
why the name is as it is.
Yeah.
But I had some exercises for October, and one, and I'm not sure exactly why I chose all of these words, but let's listen just for a moment. Accidentally, by the way, is often mispronounced as accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
Most unique. Unique means one of a kind, so you don't ever put the most in front of it.
It can't be more unique than unique, can it?
No, it can't.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but let's mention some of the tips for small business people, too, because I think that's why we're here.
Wait a minute, we have one more.
Oh, okay.
We have to talk about my pumpkins.
Oh, we do. Pumpkins.
Pumpkins.
Absolutely. And pronounce Halloween correctly.
It's pumpkin. The little round orange thing is pumpkin. Your sweetie is pumpkin.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, she's pumpkin. And I hope you call her that.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Okay, you got some tips for small business.
Yes, I do. And I alluded to this earlier, but I can't say it often enough. When you can't afford to advertise, publicize. Send notices to your local paper. They're hungry for news, and you'd be surprised at how often they will highlight a story. I talked earlier about a bookseller I talked with who has birthday parties for authors. So on Ernest Hemingway's birthday, talk about your party and send a notice to the newspaper.
Good idea.
And you don't have to be a bookstore to celebrate famous people's birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
If you have what we used to call the haberdashery,
mm-hmm.
you could celebrate Truman's birthday. Because he certainly worked in such a store, and I think he was an owner. And in fact, on his birthday or the celebration thereof, you could even give away a tie.
Good idea.
If you own a florist establishment, you could celebrate Luther Burbank's birthday.
Who is that?
He was a botanist.
Oh. Okay.
And maybe you could give away a Shasta daisy, who knows? But another tip, and I think we need to hone in on this right away. Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in the USA. and there are 1,000 new victims every day, and many of them are proprietors of small business.
You're talking about people who steal your identity and then use your credit cards, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Or they will, in fact, Ann Landers, my dear friend, did you know I visited her one time?
You told me about that.
Yeah, one time we'll have to get into that.
That's great.
But she had a marvelous article on that, on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the caller will say that the bank is doing a Y2K fix on your credit card.
Yeah, there's a lot of Y2K fraud going on right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Phyllis, that's got to be the last word.
Okay.
We're going to have you back another time. Thank you very much for coming up on the end of the hour. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Okay, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phyllis Martin. She's the author of Return to Chipping Sodbury. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.